Turn to Numbers, chapter 16. Numbers 16. And we will start at verse 37. Numbers 15, verse 37. The Lord also spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue. It shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you played the harlot, so that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." Let's pray. Well, we need to remember, we need to remind ourselves, we can't depend upon society. We can't depend even upon a good organization like the Gideons. We must depend on you and make effort in ourselves to remember your word as it is made available to us. And I pray, Lord, we would be those who intentionally do that and keep ourselves from the stains of this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One universal rule of life is that one day you'll do something stupid. Even Frank Sinatra did something stupid, has that song that he went and spoiled it all by saying something stupid like, "I love you." Barney Fife, we are familiar with, the beloved character of Andy Griffith, always doing something stupid. We all are capable of it and do it. When that happens, what normally is thought or sometimes said or asked is, "Are you out of your mind to do something like that?" As though if we were in our mind, we would not do it. If we're out of our mind, then we will. But more likely, the stupid thing was done by someone who was fully in their mind. In spite of the common perceptions, we have madness within us, not coming from outside us. So when we get out of our mind, we might actually do better by being in the mind of God. But when we're in our mind, well, that's where the problem is. And this is a vitally important fact of theology and anthropology and understanding of man, is that we have it within ourselves to be stupid. We're too much in our own mind. We're too much in our own heart. We're too much by our own eyes and feelings and thoughts. The biggest mistake the natural man makes is to trust in himself, his own opinions, his instincts, his ideas, his preferences, his understanding, his insight, his desires, his knowledge. The Bible sums it up, the malady of sinful man, by saying we have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's sick. And when we are isolated to ourselves, and this is really what the devil seeks to do, is to isolate us from God, to isolate us from his word. Because when that happens, what we have left is a deceitful and desperately wicked heart to guide us. And we will not do well. Our craziness will come out. This is the malady of so many who have chosen not to go to church, not to read the Bible, not to fellowship with other Christians, to isolate themselves because they get offended, or they're lazy, or they put some kind of an excuse on it to make it sound like it's a proper thing to do. But they end up being by themselves, not part of a body, not part of a Christian community. And left to themselves, that deceitful heart wreaks havoc upon their lives. Israel is an example to us of that. And of course, Israel was a much larger body than just one person. But they were isolated from the world by God's grace. He chose them from out of the world. And yet everything that Israel was tempted to be was to distance them from God, to get them out of the sphere of God and His will. There are two classifications in Scripture of Israel. There's the nation of Israel, which consists of the physical descendants of Abraham. There's also then spiritual Israel, which is part of physical Israel. But these are those who have reconciled to God by faith in the Old Testament, by faith in the coming Messiah, which was foreshadowed in the symbols given before Jesus came. One day, Paul tells us that all Israel will be saved. That means the physical nation will be identical to the spiritual nation. They will have a manifestation, we believe, on earth that shows that all Israel is now not just national Israel, but spiritual Israel as well. The church is spiritual Israel now, and all who are saved are spiritual Israel, in that they have trusted in Christ. Israel as a nation has a message for the entire world that is spoken in the Old Testament. And that is that the law of God that was given to Israel is applicable to the entire world, because the law of God to Israel was applicable to the entire nation, the physical and the spiritual. Those who are just children of Abraham by physical seed, and those who were God-fearing people, the righteous and the unrighteous. Israel as a nation, a physical nation, was mostly disobedient and rebellious against God. The righteous were a small segment of the population. Just as today, the law of God is applicable to the entire world, but the world as a whole rejects it. Israel is an example of that in a smaller group of a nation. And Israel displayed to the world both the blessing of obedience and the consequences and judgment of wickedness. So again, the Bible tells us that sin will be judged, that righteousness will be blessed. And with Israel as a nation, when they were righteous, they were blessed, all by God's grace. They never earned it. And when they were wicked, they were judged. They were exiled. They had nations oppress them. So Israel is an embodiment physically of every person's spiritual aspect and their spiritual destiny. Paul even explicitly says in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 6 and verse 11, that Israel is an example to us to not do the bad things they did in that case. Well, this section that we're in, Numbers 15, 37 through 41, to the end of the chapter, has a context. And in that context, we see just above there in verse 32 that a man decided to gather wood on the Sabbath day. And they found him doing that, we're told. And they seemed to be kind of at a loss as to what to do with him, because they knew it was wrong, and yet the judgment was very harsh. So what is it that they were supposed to do with this man who had done this? So they brought the elders together, and Moses, and asked of the Lord what it is they should do. Now, the man himself, you can just put yourself in his place. Wouldn't it have been nice if he'd had a guide to proper conduct of on the Sabbath day? Which, of course, he did. The fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath day. That was reiterated to Israel many times. Exodus 31, 14 and 15, Exodus 35, 2 tells us the Sabbath breaking was punishable by death. And the manna, when it fell, was to be gathered twice as much on the sixth day. The seventh day then was to be a day of rest. Well, what's this man thinking about? Well, he needed wood. What is guiding his life right now? What's in his own mind? He's cold or needs to cook something or whatever the deal is. So he needs wood. Does he consider that it's the Sabbath day? No, he considers that he needs wood. And he knew where to get it. He knew how to get it. And he went and got it. Something that would not make a person even bat an eye in our society. We don't have the same Sabbath regulations. But God was very emphatic to Israel that they could not do that. And so when he was called, it was known he was in for some sort of judgment. And they asked the Lord, and the Lord sentenced him to death without delay. And so the congregation took him, as per the instructions of the Lord, outside the camp, and they stoned him to death. Now, this man may have been confused. He may have said something like, well, all I did was gather some wood. I was cold. Somehow he justified it. He didn't fear the Sabbath. He didn't fear God, who commanded that the Sabbath be a day of rest. He didn't gather on the sixth day enough and look ahead to honor the Sabbath day as the commandment was, so that he would not have to gather wood. He just lived in the moment like people do. In his own mind, he was not doing anything wrong. You could hear the arguments today. What was he doing wrong? He was cold. What's he supposed to do? Freeze or starve? And now he's dead. And that brings us to the passage that we're in for our text today. That immediately after this, and I do believe the context is connected with what went on before. The Lord speaks to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corner of their garments throughout their generations. That they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue. So immediately after this guy is punished by death for violating the Sabbath, the Lord commands that tassels be made so that the children of Israel would not do like this man did and forget the law of God. The tassel would be a reminder. That's explicitly what it says in the text. Verse 39, it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you played the harlot. Well, what this man did was follow after his own heart and his own eyes. They had done that before in Israel. They did that many times after. The mention of playing the harlot means you are cheating on God. You're attracted to a harlot, the world, or yourself, or another religion, or another god, something that makes you unfaithful to God. And by trusting in your own heart and your own eyes, your own mind, you play the harlot. You're like David, who saw Bathsheba bathing, followed his own mind on, inquired about her, found out she was married, didn't matter, he just went on with it. And by doing that, he forgot the commands of God and did his own thing, brought destruction upon himself and his family. And so it is with this man. He brought destruction upon himself because he went with his own heart and mind, and he did not follow the law of God. Now, the law of God had been proclaimed. So by God's gracious act here, he tells Israel to make tassels, to remind. This will be very unreasonable, this judgment on this man today, but it's nothing unreasonable about following the commands of God. People see hell and judgment as harsh and unreasonable, so they reject that. What's silly and unreasonable to us, people kind of just place on God. And they say, well, if I think it's silly, if I disagree with it, if I think it's unreasonable, well, then it can't be true. Hell being one thing that's been denied even by many preachers because they don't like it. So the tassels were a utility for remembering. Now, it sounds like a hippie thing. To wear tassels on your garments. We're told how to make them, how to attach them. The cord of blue, and it was attached to the corners of the garments. The tassels have no meaning in themselves. There's nothing about tassels that are holy. Tassel can be a fashion accessory or anything else. We had a tassel when we graduated from high school and college. We had a tassel on our hats. We flipped them over to the other side, and we were graduating. It signifies whatever it is that the tassel is said to symbolize. In this case, it symbolizes the commands of God. I've told you before about Jonathan Edwards, a brilliant mind, called the greatest Christian theologian. He would, on trips, attach his thoughts to certain articles on his clothing, his buttons. If he thought through a certain topic and he took his mind into all the various areas of it, he would, to remember, he didn't have any iPads or computers or anything like that to remind him or recording devices. So he had to wait till he got home to reproduce it. And so he would attach it to the button or to a piece on his clothing. And then when he got home, he would look at that piece that he had attached that memory to, and then he would record what he had put there. Now, I believe that's partly because he had such a brilliant mind, but it's also something everybody can do to some degree, at least in a very broad sense, as to keeping the commandments of God. Here is the Lord using that to keep Israel connected to the law of God. They were to distract Israel from themselves as a tassel would on a piece of garment. You would see it. And it would turn your eyes to the Lord. So the tassels would remind them to keep the commands of the Lord and to do them. it was like that for other things we should have in our homes. Reminders, Israel was told, so that children would hear of the word of God all the time, to speak of them in the morning, to speak of them in the evening, to keep them ever fresh, and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you played the harlot. It's easy to play the harlot these days. Let's just take, for example, if you go up here on 601 and right up by near the hospital, you'll see a bunch of harlotry going on the side of the road. It's in the form of trucks and sports cars that sit out on the road in front of dealerships. They're calling to you to come in and commit harlotry if you can't afford it. If you can't afford the truck or the sports car and the truck don't care. The dealership doesn't care. They just want you to come in and avail yourself of it. You get home with that, your wife sees it and you couldn't afford it, you've played the harlot with a truck. It's something that takes you from the will of God. And so we're not to dismiss any of the commandments of God, verse 40. It says it's to go in all generations. The tassels were for all generations. This was something that did not expire. They would not get to the place where they no longer needed to remind themselves. Verse 38 says it's to all generations. Verse 40 says, so that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God. All the commandments, all generations. Because it was always necessary. It was always crucial to be with God, to love God, to follow God. And if you let up on that, well, then you won't follow God. The man with a hankering to gather sticks on the Sabbath is a perfect example of that. When he should have followed the will of God, he followed his own will. Now, how does this apply to us? We're talking about today, the Gideons, and they're spreading out through all the world the word of God. And we see tassels here. This is Old Testament symbolism. This is a Jewish regulation that is not demanded in the New Covenant. We don't have dietary or clothing regulations. The New Covenant is the fulfillment of all those shadows. We don't do the shadows. But the symbolism, as far as reminding us, we can still use that. Because the tassels did two things. They directed the lost to the word of God, and they directed the saved to the word of God. So in a society, we should always be doing that. Have the word of God there where the lost can find it. That's why we take the gospel to all the world, as Jesus commands. And also to keep it in front of our eyes who know the Lord, so that we never forget it. The principle is to tend to the word of God and not be complacent and satisfied in yourself. One book, not a very good book, I think from back in the 70s, a psychology book, I'm okay, you're okay. Well, if you're okay and I'm okay, nobody needs to do anything. We don't need to remember God's commands, do we? We're fine. Reminders are still appropriate. You don't have to wear tassels. But reminders are still appropriate, such as verses hanging up in your house. Barry Pruitt commented one time, he came to our house, went to the bathroom, reading the Bible on the wall. People should not be able to come to your house and not read the Bible. When people come to your house, they should read the Bible on the wall somewhere. They should see verses. They don't want to. They should see verses. It should be before them. The saved will be encouraged by it. The lost will be challenged by it. This is what the tassels were for Israel, to remind them, saved and lost, of the law of God, which would convert the lost and encourage, build up the saved. The powerful tendency of mankind is to follow what this wood gatherer did, our own mind and heart and eyes. If you leave yourself in the default position as we are born with, let things happen as they happen, you will wander from God. You will, even as a lost person, abandon all thoughts of God. If you place an important piece of paper, if you go to your safe where you keep these things at home and put it out in the front yard, just let it stay there for a few hours. Don't nail it down. Just lay it on the grass. And especially on a windy day, it's gone. That's the default position. If we don't tie the boat to the dock, it will float away. We're told in the parable of the sower and the soils that the devil comes. As soon as the word is preached to the lost, the devil comes and takes it away. That's the seed sown by the wayside. And he seeks to devour Christians. The devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Peter says to resist him. You do that on purpose. You do that by remembering. If you're lax as a Christian, you'll drain life and vigor from yourself. Christians can't deny God. Many who claim to be Christians and go off and seem to forget it forever could never have been a Christian. If you deny the Lord, he will deny us. But we live in a world that's hostile to God and hostile to his word. And if you don't take care, you will wander off. You'll be discouraged if you're a Christian when you could be encouraged if you were near to God. You'll find yourself alone in a cold place because you haven't gathered with the saints and gone into the word and prayed. And this is what happens. It goes in small steps for Christians. For people who are not just Christians, but people who are familiar with the Bible, the distractions scream for attention. And the devil is, for those who are more guarded because they know the word of God and have been exposed to it, he'll take small steps, minuscule steps, micro steps away from God. And then one day you realize you're not reading the Bible anymore, not praying anymore, and not going to church. How'd that happen? It happened with micro steps. Itsy bitsy things where you did not follow the law of God. You followed your own feelings. You followed your own mind. You followed your own eyes. Your heart guided you off the path. And little by little, there you go. Our world takes giant steps. Those who are not committed to the law of God, those who are not influenced by the grace of God and the education in the church or from parents who have not been taught, you can take a big giant step with them, the devil knows. One day the push is for an alternate sexuality, to accept all forms of sexuality. And then the next thing you know, we're putting wigs on men and calling them women. It goes fast, big chunks. If you say anything bad about that, you get banned on social media. the world is leaping away from God. You know, the Gideon ministry is one of the means of guarding the gate so that the departure is less expansive. The gatekeepers in our day, who are supposed to stand against the invasion, have turned cowards. Opinions of minority, which are godless, people get frightened on. These big companies, Disney's one of them lately. They just have compromised their whole history to follow after a leftist woke agenda. And they're spooked. Our military has been spooked, and the people that are supposed to be gatekeepers are cowards. They don't stand. Schools don't stand. School boards won't stand. Even parents won't stand and say, no, not in my house. And the hope, of course, is always the word of God. So when the Gideons spread that word, that it might take root, we are holding up against the onslaught as far as we can. And the word of God will not return void. The Gideons don't provide tassels, but they do provide what the tassels point to, and that is the word of God. And they deserve our prayers and support. But as far as we're concerned, we should always have our tassels up. We should always be remembering the word of God, not with physical signs necessarily, of tassels or any particular specific sign, but with whatever it takes, that we not ever be distracted from God, never be distracted from his word, but always remember the laws of the Lord. We're entering the spring planting season. People in their yards are fertilizing and watering and planting seed. And we're told if you do that, you'll get grass and plants and flowers. And it's generally the case. Well, our minds need to be fertilized and watered and seed planted in it. If we fill our crazy minds with the word of God, we'll get wisdom growing out of it instead of the foolishness that we have by default. And so let us always remember the commandments of God. Let's pray. Lord, you're good to us to remind us of things that we should never forget. But Lord, if we really want to remember, we do everything we can to not forget. We don't leave it to memory. We remind ourselves. We don't neglect. We tend to the word of God. May we do that always. I pray for gatekeepers in our day, Lord, who return to their function as gatekeepers, parents, schools, and governments even, that men might be saved and get that courageous commitment to the word of God and to stand strong. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.